Welcome to PR After Hours, your weekly cocktail of news and interviews with leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. So pull up a chair in our virtual lounge. Your host, Alex Greenwood, will be right back after this.
So listeners, you know, in the world of business, it's tough, especially when you're a solopreneur or you have your own small company or you're responsible for not only you making a living for yourself, but for success in the company and the organization and keeping it going so other people can make a living. And that can be tough and weighing on yourself, you know, quite a bit. And, you know, I recently experienced this when, long story short, got all the way down to the contract phase of a new client in Asia. Pretty big deal for us. We're not a huge company, so it was really great. And usually you don't get asked to send a contract until it's all over but the shouting, as we say. And I sent it, and I waited. And of course, there's a time difference. And nothing happened, crickets. And then, of course, on the news, the big bank goes down in California. 2 days later, got a message from the Asian client. They said, hey, we're going to have to pause for a little while. Some things have come up. Yeah, well, it doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to figure out what probably happened with him. They either were part of that bank or got spooked by it. And my contract went into the proverbial you-know-water. But you know what? There's an old saying. Sometimes you just have to laugh. And that's why I'm excited to welcome our guest today. Her name is Kathy Nesbitt. She is all about laughing. I'm not going to lie, this morning I'm getting on my second cup of coffee here, and I hope I can laugh a little bit here, although I'm not great at the laughing on demand, so maybe we'll find out why that still could be a benefit, and maybe I should stop talking and we could start talking with Kathy Nesbitt. Kathy, welcome to PR After Hours.
Thank you, Alex. I love that intro. Yes, you gotta laugh.
You do. Beats crying. So, let's get something out of the way, though, first, though. Beyond the fact that you're an expert on laughter and yoga laughter and all these things, you've kind of wormed your way into people's heart in another way, haven't you?
Yes, I have. It's the 21st anniversary of Kathy's Crawley Composters, selling worms by the pound for indoor composting. Who doesn't want worms in the house, Alex?
Well, hey, you know, whatever. It does the job, right? Composting's great. And, you know, are you saying just quickly about that, though? Are you saying people more interested in doing that? I mean, I know you're in Canada, correct?
Yes, that's right. I'm just north of Toronto. And in 2002, our landfill closed and we started to export our garbage to the United States. Oh. And I had a solution. This is indoor composting with worms. So it's taking your organic matter and in a container, and the worms manage your food scraps, your paper, and then they turn it into black gold. The original alchemists.
The original, yeah. I mean, and that soil is great for plants and gardening and all sorts of stuff. And I'd much rather dump, at least at the very least, just dump that black gold in the backyard, even if it's just dumping it out in the backyard rather than food scraps or something, because that's where I live, Kansas City, Missouri. We have a nice backyard, but I used to kind of do that in our garden. I'd kind of throw some crushed eggshells and stuff like that into the garden. Well, all I did really was invite critters to come eat those things. So I learned about composting, and I think it's very valuable. And it's good to see that more people are learning about it, and glad you're doing that. So Kathy, tell me though, this whole laughter thing, you know, there's the old Reader's Digest thing. Laughter is the best medicine. Is that true?
It is the truth. I've been traveling around the world by podcast since 2020. And I ask everybody, have you heard that laughter is the best medicine? I haven't met one person yet around the world that I'm still looking for that person. So it really is when we're laughing. So this is this is laughter as an exercise. It's not doing yoga and laughing. It's laughing for the health of it. So when we're laughing, we're secreting the love drugs, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins versus cortisol and adrenaline when we're stressed. And so we're in charge of our own pharma. I wonder if I'm going to wear out my dispenser. So it's not jokes or comedy. It's literally laughing as an exercise. So as the laughter leader, it is an odd thing. For people who have never laughed for health, just for laughing. You said you have a hard time just laughing, like the idea of laughing without comedy. That's what it is. So as the laughter teacher, I lead the games. So it's, you know, we do warm up. So we'll do a little clapping. When you're clapping palm to palm, you're activating the meridians. Mm-hmm. So there's a rhythm, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3 for clapping. And the words are ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. And that, it's kind of like, remember, I don't know if you remember, but the in psychology, the Pavlov's dog,
Yeah, you know, sure.
Ringing the bell and then the dog salivates and you give a treat and then all of a sudden you don't need the treat anymore. The dog just salivates. So that's what happens when we start doing the clapping, like the ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. It reminds our brain that, oh, I must be happy. I'm laughing. And that clapping gets us out of our head. For those that are very serious and can't even imagine laughing for nothing, this gives them something to do with their hands and they can get out of their head.
Do you do this? I mean, I've watched your videos and you do pepper your conversation, and as you've just done here, with little, you know, and things like that. Is that a trademark thing you do because you're the laughter person, or is that something you do just throughout your daily life? I'm just curious of that, first of all.
It has become part of my lexicon now. I do laugh. I do a lot of school workshops for my worms, and the kids will be like, how can you laugh so much? And then I say, oh, good. Okay, thanks for noticing. You shouldn't even notice if you're a kid that I laugh too much. Right? But it's such a serious time. So yes, it's part of my lexicon now, part of my brand. Laughter yoga has given me permission to laugh more, to be more light and resilient. And, you know, I've been laughing. How I got into laughter in 2012, one more person said, I'd been in my worm business 10 years, and one more person said, ew, worms in the house. And I heard it. It hit my heart. And I started to question everything. Why am I doing this? You know, why don't I just get a job? It would be much easier. And I think the universe is a fascinating place. I think this was why I was put on Earth. And I was chugging along. So the universe was working on other people and their issues. When I was about to bail, I think the universe was like, oh my gosh, she's going to bail. We got to throw her a lifeline. And I was introduced to laughter yoga. Laughter yoga saved my worm business, saved my life. Not, it sounds dramatic. It's not that I was at the end. I was so depressed. No, it just saved, like, it just helped me to become more resilient and get out of stress way quicker.
Okay. The reason I asked the question is, and I'm, please, not being snarky, just curious. Like, what if you're at the grocery store? You're in the checkout line, and somebody says, this coupon doesn't work. And you go, wow, I didn't know that. I mean, do people kind of look at you like, whoa, what's going on with her? You know what I mean? Like, do you laugh at that way in public or around people who don't understand that this is what you're up to, and they kind of give you a look? I'm just curious about that.
I absolutely do. Yes, I laugh all the time. I'm always laughing. And whenever something is stressful, well, you got to laugh more. Because otherwise you're secreting the stress chemicals, right? So what happens? So here's another, a different example, driving. If somebody cuts you off, it's rarely, it's probably never personal, where they're like, oh, there's Alex, let's get him.
Right.
It's just by accident, somebody, they weren't paying attention, the lane ended, they had to cut in front, whatever. When you cut somebody off, you look in the mirror, because you're aware that you've, you know, gone in front of somebody.
Yeah.
So what I do, when I've trained myself that if I get cut off, and I do, because that's how it goes, it triggers me to do my laughter yoga. Instead of getting stressed, like, hey, what are you doing in front of me? I start laughing and I flail my arms around. Ah, ha, 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 ha. I'm doing my laughter yoga. The person is looking in the mirror. So I actually get more space because they think I'm angry.
Oh my gosh.
Right. They're like, oh my gosh, that chick is cuckoo. I better get away from her. But instead it's the other way. I'm just laughing. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Secreting the love drugs versus getting stressed about it. And we're in charge.
Is that can be a natural response. Something you do without even being told. Let me give you a quick story. If I may, my beloved grandfather died about 20 years ago, 22 years ago. And I was over at his house with my dad was one of seven children, and like half of my uncles and aunts and everybody were already there. And I was on the phone in the other room trying to get a minister friend to help do the ceremony and talking. And he made a remark that was mildly humorous, but I laughed a little loud and a little much. And then one of my uncles came in and just glowered at me like, we are mourning and you're laughing. on the phone with a friend, and I felt terrible and very cringe, as the kids say about that, very cringe about it. I didn't mean to. It just, I think it was just a reaction, though, just to the overwhelming sadness of the moment. I was looking for any means of just not being sad for just a second, and it kind of backfired, at least in the eyes of my uncle. Is that, what do you think of that?
Yes, I think what happens is it's like the pressure cooker. The pressure's building, and then poof, the thing blows up. So, or the volcano, right? It's percolating, and then it erupts. Same with us. It's that pressure, and then we have the release. That it happens very often at funerals or in uncomfortable situations.
Yeah,
you know, Mary Tyler Moore, when Chuckles the Clown dies. I don't know if you remember that episode where Chuckles the Clown died, and then they all broke out laughing and they felt bad. That's because our society has squished laughter out. It really is a defense mechanism. It's a stress reliever. And instead of, you know, I was on a podcast with somebody, and we were talking about this. One of her siblings had passed, and the other ones, she said they were all gathered, a similar incident to what happened to you. The siblings were gathering around the casket, and someone told a story about what something their sibling had done, and they burst out laughing. So there they were, all the kids laughing their heads off at the funeral. Yeah. And an auntie came up and said, ahem. And she said that has stuck with her, that like they had done this, you know, awful thing, that they were laughing, like so disrespectful. And it really isn't. If only we can switch that around and say, you know, we're celebrating this person. We're celebrating this memory. We're bringing levity, because they wouldn't want us to be, you know, paralyzed here in the corner. They really would want us to be celebrating. It's we've got it all backwards.
Yeah, I really do. And, you know, it's 22 years later, I still remember that and feel bad about it. And I appreciate you saying that, because I think it was a perfectly normal response. And actually, my friend had made a quip on the phone, nothing to do with my grandfather, just in general. And I thought it was funny, but I think it was, I was like chuckling, and then my body was going, hey, now you could use a little more of this. So I just amped it up, right? I think that's what happened. I'd love to, now you are what is known as a certified laughter yoga teacher, and I'd love to hear about this. And you were appointed a laughter ambassador in 2017 by Dr. Madan Kataria, I believe, founder of laughter yoga, which, so should I call you Ambassador Nesbitt? I don't know, but please. All right, Ambassador. Yes. And namaste to that. What is laughter yoga?
Thank you. Yes. Beautiful. Started in 1995 by Dr. Madan Kataria. He's a medical doctor, and his goal is world peace. So he was, you know, a GP dispensing antidepressants and really not having results. Try this one, try that one. And still sad clients, maybe sad himself. And he was writing an article for a magazine about laughter. And as he was researching, he discovered all this research about laughter. And so he said, if laughter is the best medicine, why don't we just laugh? Yeah. And so in March 13th, 1995, five people gathered in a park in India, and they told jokes. Laughter yoga wasn't a thing yet. They were telling jokes. And then after 2 weeks, they met every day telling jokes. 50 people were gathered. By the end of the 2 weeks, now the jokes were becoming off color. Now they're about somebody. They're not like just fun little jokes. And if they're about somebody, they're not funny for everybody.
Right.
So then he decided, okay, that's not cool. We don't want that. We don't want to offend people. So he created this whole regime of little activities. So there's 40 foundational exercises, and it's really just clapping, chanting, playing. Just the idea is to be childlike, just to be, have fun. It increases creativity. It strengthens our immune system. We're secreting the love drugs. Our brain requires 25% more oxygen than the rest of our body as an operating, like just as an operating principle, right? It's a machine, the answering machine. Thank you. Nice. So when we're stressed, right? And just a little piece about stressed, the amygdala, the stress center in the brain, has not evolved. So when we go into stress, our body acts as if we're in imminent danger. If we miss the bus, it's annoying, but it's not life-threatening.
Right.
But our body acts as if it is. So secreting those chemicals, we're not breathing. It takes hours for our body to recover from that.
Yes.
Same on the opposite side. If we have a laughing fit with our friends, our stomach's hurting, our cheeks are hurting, and our body's having a party. Like you can't just ha, 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 because you're exhaling. Right. At a certain point, you have to go, so you can continue ha, ha, ha-ing. And it really does break down barriers. Now we're going back into corporate. We're going back into the workplace after a couple of years of pause. We're going back in and we've forgotten. I don't know if you've noticed, but people have trouble making eye contact.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Having the face-to-face communications, like, do you want to go? Do you want to stay? I want to stay in my Zoom room. Like at the beginning it was like, I just want to get out. Now it's like, I just want to stay in. So now corporations are hiring laughter yoga practitioners to come and for team building, for breaking down barriers, for increasing creativity, reducing stress, because they're opposite. Stress and creativity are at opposite spectrums. When you're stressed, you know, the oxygen's not getting to your brain. Yeah. You can't come up with new solutions.
Yeah.
And you're looking down and you're just like, you know, closed body, like physiology. So when we're laughing, we're open, which means we're open to ideas flowing into our beautiful brain that's oxygenated, right? The synapse is firing as we come up with. So when you go into a meeting or something, like a serious meeting, starting the meeting with laughter, it sounds counterintuitive, but it's a serious meeting. We got lots of stuff to solve here. Let's have 1 minute of laughter. So you just laugh full on, just laughing, because the body doesn't know the difference between real and simulated laughter.
Interesting. I seem to recall one of our presidents in the United States, it might have been Reagan, I don't know, but I think he started every staff meeting with a joke. Now, I don't know if people, but to your point, I was getting ready to say, but if, you know, maybe they're laughing because the president made a joke, but you just said, body doesn't know the difference, go ahead and laugh. So maybe that's kind of a nice idea. Of course, you got to be really careful what kind of jokes you tell, especially in the corporate world these days. But if you keep it kind of, you know, anodyne, you know.
Dad jokes.
But dad jokes. I mean, seriously. Oh, my gosh. So speaking of that, the corporations using laughter. So you've done a little bit of this team building, right? Tell me about how that works. And to our listeners who have companies, let's say they called up Kathy Nesbitt, Ambassador Nesbitt, and said, hey, what can you do for us? What would you say?
Please call me. Hello, thanks for calling. Yes. So during a session, people are standing in a circle. So we're all looking at each other. There's deep diaphragmatic breathing. And then there's a little game. So we start with the clapping just to get into our bodies. You do some warm up. And then there's a little game. So we might do making a milkshake. So we just would pretend like it's all imagination. So we're just coming up with things, and doing things with our hands helps us get out of our head. So we would have our milkshake making materials and you mix them together, making noise, and then you drink it laughing. Ah, ha, 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 ha. And it's silly. And, you know, you might do high five. And maybe touching now is a strange thing. So you would do missed high fives and you work around the room and you're high-fiving each other, but missing. And then you're laughing. When we're in person, I'll split the group in half. So I ask them, do you want to be letters or numbers? They number off or alphabet off, A, B, A, B, and 1, 2. And then I'll have the first group. I'll say to them, you've just won the lottery. So you're going to go around high-fiving, yippeeing. You'll be going to be celebrating your lottery win. Group B, you also won the lottery, because we need to be careful what we implant. So I say, you also won the lottery, but you lost your ticket.
Ooh.
Oh, right. So it's like, yeah. Oh. So then you're going to act accordingly. You're not high-fiving. You're looking down. You're sad.
Right.
Right. So you take that on. So then I have the people going around the room. The A's are high fiving and they're celebrating. The B's are very sad. Then we switch. So both get to experience both. So then the B's become the lottery winners and the A's are too, but they lost their ticket. So then they get to experience both. I don't leave anybody there because then you're there. and then we move on. But that's so that people can experience what it's like to change your state in an instant. We are in charge of how we feel, and we get to experience that firsthand. So when we're laughing together, we're completely connected. And right. So a laughter yoga session is some games, some playing, maybe music, some laughter people have music. And then you end with a beautiful laughter meditation. Either on the floor, if people are able to get down on the floor on their mats, so they would it's called bullseye laughter. Your heads are facing in and you're all laying on your back. So you're all connected. You're fully, you know, you're the love drugs careening through your body. You're fully oxygenated. And that laughter meditation is not being quiet and thinking about your thoughts. It's laughing. So you're laughing full on for 1 minute. Nobody's looking at anyone because you're all on your back.
Right.
Laughing. So it can go on for a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. And so laughing, laughing, laughing. And then it's like, just like when you're laughing in a group where people start going, where your stomach's hurting. Oh, stop. Oh yeah, my gosh, yeah. I can't quit it. I can't anymore. So that's what happens. And then it burbles up again. Somebody finds it funny. So it starts again, ha, ha, ha. And then they trigger somebody else. And then everybody's laughing again. So we don't know. It's organic. We don't know how long it's going to go on. But as the laughter leader, that's your role to kind of make sure that it goes the right amount of time. And then when it's over, you ask, nobody's talking, only you as the laughter leader. Because when we talk, we're in our brain. You want people to stay in their bodies.
Yeah.
So you ask them, because you expel a lot of energy during that meditation, you ask them just to stay there. And they're actually in a meditative state. They're actually in a hypnotic state once they've done the laughter yoga. So I'm very careful what I implant after that.
Wow.
Yes. Right. Because we've just all laughed together and you're all floaty. So you really need to be mindful about what you put in. And I just ask them, just notice how you feel for the rest of the day. Your body's having a party. I invite them to send that beautiful energy because it's just energy. It's high vibration, beautiful energy.
Yeah.
I ask them to send it to the people they know that could possibly use some in the world. Take some for yourself. And then I end by asking people to help Dr. Kateria and his goal for world peace. Let's send some of this beautiful laughter energy. Imagine if people were laughing. Imagine if, you know, the leaders of the world were laughing together instead of battling. Like it would be a whole different place, like laughing. Oh, trying to take me over, quit it. Get back in your own country, you little monkey.
Oh, man. Yeah, I like that. Is it a tough sell to some HR people? Or do the HR people get it, but they have to sell it upstairs? Then what do you do to help them sell that idea of bringing you in or to conduct one of these?
Yeah. Talk to them about the bottom line, right? Imagine absenteeism goes uh-huh. down.
Yeah.
Who wants to miss laughter day? For sure. You don't want to miss.
Right.
And you're connected to your coworkers. You're a team now. You're working together. So you're increasing the bottom line for the company.
Right.
No company, every company wants to increase their bottom line. Having a team that's cohesive, like brainstorming, working together instead of, you know, we are all different personalities. For sure, we're not all going to get along. But if we can laugh together, we can forget about our differences. It breaks down barriers. Like imagine the president working with the person from the mailroom. And there's no titles in the laughter club, right? Except for the ambassador. You know, it's not a hard sell at all if they're open to the idea of paying someone to come in and make people laugh.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting about you. You know, you talked about earlier the composting. You know, the worms, without knowing it, symbiotically work together to enrich the soil. And it sounds like you kind of, not that we're calling people worms, but you kind of bring everybody together where they can enrich the work environment.
Exactly, right? Worms have very little personal space. And I'm not encouraging people to just like snuggle together like worms, but I do feel like I don't think it's an insult calling somebody a worm, although like worm is a bad word.
Yeah.
Word is, you know, can of worms,
right.
Parasites, computer worms, like the worm is a bad word.
Earworms. Yeah.
Earworm. That's right. Oh, earworm. That's right. All of these things seem to be negative. I'm trying to change that. And I feel like a worm, you know, I'm very sensitive. I feel like I don't have any structure, that I'm empathic. So when, if you say something mean to me, I'm going to get hurt. So just be nice. I find it fascinating that I chose this business, a worm business, that is so reviled, like worms. I have a psychology degree, and I'm meeting a lot of people over the 20 years who were traumatized as children in the schoolyard after a rainy day.
Oh, sure.
Right. Or a fishing incident where the green goo is coming out of the worm, something where they are just like, ooh, worms. No, I'm afraid of them, or something. So if you were traumatized as a child, you're not looking to that as a solution as an adult.
Right.
But the worms are a wonderful way for all of us. We all eat. We all create food waste. Yeah. It's something we can all do to help mitigate climate change.
Oh my gosh. There are so many, I was going to say segments, as they are in worms, because worms are segmented creatures, but I won't say that. There are so many layers to what we're talking about here, Kathy. I love this that, it's funny. You're not going to believe this, because I'll admit it. This morning, I'm a little sedate. I've had kind of a morning already, but I'm trying. I'm going to laugh. I promise you I'm going to laugh today. I'm going to make myself laugh today somehow. But I was going to say that on my one of my social media handles, you could put a little bio, mini bio. And for years, I've always put accomplished belly laugher as one of my. Yeah, it's in my bio, right? And I was going to tell you that I put that because it's true. I'm a public relations consultant, and sometimes crisis communications, things like that. But I try to smile and keep people loose, and I will crack jokes, like dad jokes, things like that, just to lessen tension. Because in my line of work, oftentimes I'm dealing with a room full of very tense, very corporate people. And unfortunately, I think it's worked against me a few times, because I think they detected a lack of seriousness when that's not what it is at all. It's just trying to keep people sharp and at their best. And as you said earlier, when you're stressed, a lot of stuff shuts down in you, because your body and your mind is focused on relieving stress rather than a creative way to solve a situation or a problem.
Absolutely. When we're stressed, we're tight. So it's not flowing. How can creativity flow when there's blocks?
Yeah, you
said it.
Well, you got to learn to be an accomplished belly laugher. Kathy, how do people, I'm going to put some links in the show notes, of course, but give us a word here. You've got a few websites here, but how do people get a hold of you?
For laughter, it's kathysclub.com. And I do have a free laughter club every Tuesday morning, 30 minutes on Zoom, super fun self-care. As a laughter teacher, I incorporate tapping, brain gym, Qigong, other healing modalities, just to help people get out of stress and into joy. It's our birthright. It really is. We're the ones that put the blocks in, because we're comparing, we're looking at the other person, we're like, oh, I want that. You know, like somebody got a new boat and it's like, oh, I want a boat. Oh, I don't even like the water, but well, I want to have it, right? We don't even want what they have, but because they have it, we want it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would say stop comparing, just, you know, row your own boat. They're back to the water analogy again.
Yeah. There you go. Well, you know, it's a Voltaire, Candide, we must all tend to our own garden. And that's the same thing, you know, if people could be a little more, and use worms in your garden. If we could be more that way, I think it'd be better. And of course, if you want to learn more about composting, you've got kathyscomposters.com. There'll be links in the show notes, folks. Listen, it's you know what? Laughter is not a laughing matter, in the sense that we should do more of it as a society. And I think particularly coming off the pandemic, ambassadors of laughter like our guest here today, Kathy Nesbitt, are heroes, and we appreciate that, and we thank you for that. And Kathy, I'll just throw it to you. You get the last laugh on this episode.
Woo! Thank you, Alex.
I'm still laughing. Do you want to start a service-based business, or become a freelance writer? Or maybe you are one, but you're figuring out the things that most people figure out. And one of the hardest things about starting a freelance business is finding clients. So you do all sorts of things, right? You change the rates on your website 10 different times. You go back and forth on every proposal, always undercharging because you're scared to charge too much. You offer services you don't love because you think more opportunities will come your way. Listen, I learned this the hard way. That's just not true. If you can relate to anything I just said, I've got something for you to hear about. And this is especially for you if your monthly revenue is inconsistent, you're struggling to make at least $3,000 to $5,000 per month, and it's hard to find those dream clients the gurus keep talking about. Well, listen in. My friend Joe created a resource to teach you the shortcuts that took her years to learn. In her free copywriting class, she teaches how to write high converting copy and shows you the steps she uses to pitch her services and connect with clients. If you've been wanting to niche into copywriting, develop your writing skills, and learn how to position yourself to attract better quality leads, just take a look at her free class. All you have to do is go to thevirtualmama.com/alexcopy. That's thevirtualmama.com/alexcopy. And of course, as always, don't worry. It's in the show notes. Click the link in the show notes and find out if copywriting is right for you and if it's a way for you to be your own boss and succeed.
You know what that means? It's last call here at the Virtual Lounge. Be sure to visit prafterhours.com for links to what we discussed in this episode and more. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And join us next time for another round at PR After Hours with Alex Greenwood.